With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I was brainwashed, and thanks to President Trump, I started to really understand the things I was supporting. You know, I was pro-choice, you know, taking part in aborting these babies. You know, I was, for these liberal policies when I'm not even understanding that things like school choice are being overlooked because of these liberal policies. You know, I was always standing up for criminal justice, but I didn't realize that, you know, Joe Biden and the Democrats and Clinton are the ones that actually passed the mass incarceration bills that have locked up millions of black men. I was just simply uneducated until Donald J. Trump came down that escalator, and I started to open up my mind.
Jack Brewer reacting to his journey, I guess, into walking away from the Democratic Party. I think it's a very interesting one, especially when he starts discussing how he was brainwashed. And, you know, we've seen several stories be put out there into the ethos right now where you can take it for what it is. You can read The Atlantic and you can just, you know, slurp up everything that they're serving to you and fit it into a narrative that's just like the last Atlantic story that's been put out there. And you could just take it and you cannot do your research and you can just continue to assume that Donald Trump is a person that these people want you to see him as. But Jack Brewer has had his eyes cleared and his mind cleared and has made some decisions for himself. It sounds like he's pretty passionate about it, and I always love listening to him and the way he speaks because he speaks with such clarity. Let's get our guest on here. Each Wednesday, we speak with Fox News contributor Joroy Murdoch. This Wednesday is no different. Joroy, thank you for coming on the show with us today. You know, when you hear someone like Jack Brewer say he was brainwashed, how real is that today in our society where there are so many people who have been fed so much stuff so consistently that it kind of serves the purpose of brainwashing people into believing something that's just not true?
Annie, great to be on with you and your listeners today. Another way of putting the term brainwash is a term I believe coined by none other than Joseph Goebbels, the Nazi minister of propaganda and public enlightenment, and I believe he coined the term big lie. And the idea was if you take something that isn't true, you repeat it enough, and pretty soon people believe that the big lie is the truth. And this is what we've had happen with Donald J. Trump pretty much since he came down that escalator, which he's a racist, he hates blacks, he hates women, he's homophobic, et cetera, et cetera. And the left-wing media and Democrats have just repeated this over and over and over nonstop, and even go further than that, which is when he says or does things that prove he's not a racist, they don't cover them. And they just literally will put, turn on the three network news shows, and there'll be big events at the White House where he meets with black folks, and it would be as if he just stayed in bed that day because they will not even tell you that happened. I think I may have said to you before that I really wish we could go back to the days of media biases we had under Ronald Reagan, where what they would do is tell you the story. They'll say the president met with so-and-so, but then they'd bring somebody out to say, well, that's a bad thing, or here's why it's not important, or they have somebody come in and dismiss what took place. Now what we have is a situation where either they just completely ignore it. I mean, they give it zero coverage, which is much easier than finding someone to come in and tell you why this was, and whatever President Trump did was wrong. They just don't provide any information. Or they do like what we saw with the Atlantic story regarding the allegations that President Trump dissed our World War One dead over in a cemetery in France by calling them losers and suckers and allegedly not going to a ceremony at that cemetery because he was afraid that his hair would get wet in the rain. You know, this is just a made-up story. It's just invented. And supposedly, Jeffrey Goldberg, who wrote the story for the Atlantic, had four unnamed sources. Since then, the White House has identified, and I've actually found a couple myself, 16 different people who are in France with the President of the United States. They said this isn't what he did, not what took place. He didn't go there because of bad weather. The helicopter, Marine One, couldn't fly with a 600-foot ceiling, which is 500 feet below the ceiling when Kobe Bryant smacked in a mountain, and he was killed, as well as his daughter, friends, and the pilot of the helicopter. And they didn't take a motorcade because it's about an – I've been on that road. I've been to that cemetery. 90 minutes or so from Paris to the cemetery. On the way back, I was with National Security Advisor Robert C. O'Brien. His first anniversary on the job is tomorrow, by the way. We went to that cemetery for a wreath-laying ceremony. It was about 2 hours on the way back. So you would have had the President of the United States and his motorcade 90 minutes to 2 hours on rural roads in the middle of the French countryside, with all of that having to be coordinated with French policemen and French police departments and on and on and on. That's a major, major effort. So they decided not to do that visit. And yet we have this story about he didn't want to go because he was afraid his hair would get wet. Absolute utter garbage. So when you have 16 people who were with the president on that trip saying, no, this isn't taking place, versus four people whose names we don't know, who may have been totally invented, indicating a story that didn't take place. So we've gone from true balanced media to media bias, and now it's just media invention.
DeRoy, this story in the Atlantic and the general media environment that you're talking about, it's clearly it's gotten worse since Ronald Reagan. Do you think that that's due to Trump being Trump, or do you anticipate that this would have happened regardless of who was in the White House if it was a Republican?
That's a good question. I think some of this would have gone on if, let's say, Marco Rubio were president, or if Jeb, low-energy Jeb Bush were president.
Why are you laughing?
I don't think. That's the appropriate response. I don't know if it would have been. I think it would have continued. I don't think it would have been as vicious. There is an absolute, visceral, deep, unbelievable hatred of this president I've never seen directed towards any other Republican, even to the point where you look at people like Madonna saying that she wishes she could blow up the White House. You've got Kathy Griffin, who used to host the New Year's Eve celebration on CNN with Anderson Cooper. She famously was photographed with that picture of sort of an effigy or a mock-up of President Trump's decapitated head with blood dripping out of the bottom. Numerous instances of various artists coming up with depictions of the President of the United States with his head chopped off. You had the public theater here, the folks who first launched Hamilton, I believe, and they also launched A Chorus Line way back when. They did a production of, I think it was Julius Caesar, if I'm not mistaken, at the public theater in Central Park. Big, big production. This isn't some college kids in a dorm. This is Central Park, New York Public Theater, and they have the Julius Caesar in current garb, wearing a red tie, looking a lot like the President of the United States, and at the end he just gets stabbed to death, and you've got someone looks just like Trump basically on the ground bleeding. And they said, oh, this has nothing to do with Trump. Nonsense. This was within about 6 months of him getting inaugurated, and it was just basically kind of a ritual wish fulfillment on the part of the left. So that the actual toxic and even assassination-oriented type hatred displayed towards this president is unlike anything I've seen before. And my guess is if President Marco Rubio, President Jeb Bush were in office right now, they would be hostile, but probably not to the point of wanting to have his head chopped off.
Fox News contributor DeRoy Murdoch joining us right now. You know, you hear Jack Brewer talk about how he felt as though he was brainwashed and he came into this new set of information that really changed his entire outlook and opened his eyes to a lot of things. And we see, you know, this Atlantic story is probably child's play compared to what we're going to see here in the next couple months as we march towards Election Day. What is a constructive way to provide information and to challenge? You know, it is a known fact for probably the 30% of Americans who despise Donald Trump and were Hillary, just Hillary diehards, who think that Donald Trump is the most racist, bigoted, misogynistic, xenophobic person that has ever walked the face. Like, he is as bad as it humanly can get. That's what they think about him.
Somebody said,
can you challenge that?
Somebody actually said not long after he was sworn in. This is probably March of 17. So he'd been president about maybe 6 weeks or so. And a woman is actually on Tucker Carlson's show and said that President Donald J. Trump is worse than Hitler. Not as bad as Hitler, worse than Hitler.
He's so just really not doing well in the Hitler lookalike contest this week with all the peace in the Middle East. He's kind of failing.
And you know, working with Bibi Netanyahu, who's Jewish, last I checked.
Right.
Anyway, yeah. So
he's a Nazi.
He's a Nazi. Not a very good Nazi. But I think the best way to get the information out is just repeat the facts as best you can, as often as possible. If this were an anti-black president, would he have established, I think it's now 8,700 opportunity zones that have attracted something like $75 billion in private investment capital, mainly in low income disadvantaged communities, many of them black. If President Trump hated black people, would he have established all sorts of support, including a steady stream of federal cash for 101, I believe it is, historically black colleges and universities? And he's actually gone and visited several of these places. And he's also the man who signed the First Step Act, which was a criminal justice reform measure. Obama and Biden had 8 years to sign this thing. They never did. He did it within his first 2 years. And this has ended mass incarceration and has allowed people like Alice Johnson, who was at the Republican National Convention, a black woman who was locked up for, I think it was about 20 years, for a victimless, nonviolent drug crime. And she's now out of jail, gone back to her family and friends and loved ones, and started a new life. And a lot of people, I think it's now 3,100, I think is the number, of predominantly black folks have been released from prison, nonviolent offenders under the First Step Act. And these people are going back to work. Something that the president has done, which is brilliant, is not just let them out of jail, but there's been a real effort to help them get jobs, get training, do apprenticeships, get degrees, et cetera. So it's not just like, all right, you're out of jail, good luck. I mean, there's an effort to integrate these people back into society and give them the skills they can succeed in the private sector outside of prison. If he hated black people, he easily could have done nothing about this and let those folks just stay in jail. And I don't think anybody really would have noticed. But he actually did something different, got Democrats and Republicans to vote on this in the House and the Senate, sent him the bill, and he signed it within his first 2 years in office. So I would think if people talk about the opportunity zones, support for for historically black colleges and universities, and signing the First Step Act, criminal justice reform, which Obama and Biden didn't do, I just repeat that over and over and over again. The President of the United States should have ads on that nonstop. The people who benefited from these programs should be on the air, at events, et cetera. He ought to be visiting opportunity zones and successful businesses there. He ought to be meeting with people who got through the First Step Act. He ought to be going to historically black colleges and universities to the degree that they're meeting despite COVID and everything else. And the more time he spends with black folks and telling these stories and meeting with these people, the harder it is for the Democrats to repeat the big lie that he's a racist and that he hates black people.
We're on the phone with DeRoy Murdoch, Fox News contributor. He has an article right now at Newsmax. We're almost out of time, DeRoy, but just really quick, in light of the media environment, and you know, my question is, does the media environment link to this idea that there is a silent majority? Do you think there is a silent majority?
I think there is. I mean, I think there are a lot of people who have watched on air what happens if you are pro-Trump and you wear a MAGA hat or you're waving a Trump banner. People will come after you. They'll try to get you fired. They'll try to shut down your business. They physically will beat you. I've got multiple photos of people who've worn MAGA hats are now walking around, at the time anyway, walking around with black eyes because they've been clocked in their faces. So if someone calls and says, are you for voting for Donald Trump for president? You don't know if that's Gallup calling with a poll or if that's somebody, you know, Antifa calling. And if you say, yes, I'm going to vote for Trump, you know, a brick comes through your window, you know, 2 minutes later. So a lot of people say, no, I'm not voting, or I'm voting for Biden or whatever, because they're afraid of professional or even physical retaliation if they say they're for Trump. So I think there is a shy Trump voter, if you will. I'm not sure what the number is, but I think there's quite a people out there. And my guess is that there will be a pleasant surprise on election night for Trump supporters, although that doesn't excuse people from having to do the hard work it's going to take to get the man reelected. Everybody should be knocking on doors, handing out bumper stickers, making phone calls, talking to your friends. If you write articles or host radio programs, then write the articles and host the radio programs and get that message out between now and November 3.
Well, we are always grateful to have you on here with us, DeRoy. We look forward to talking to you again next week.
Very good. All right. Talk to you then. Thanks a lot. Bye now.
Thank you so much. DeRoy Murdoch is a Fox News contributor and a very, very good advocate for some of the positive things that this president has done. And, you know, I think that is the tough question. If you've got people in your life who, I mean, it's not like Donald Trump is a bad president. They think that he is the devil. You know, like if they believe in the devil, they think it's him. If they don't believe in the devil, he'd be central casting for Satan himself. I don't know if you can talk to those people, but I don't know that if we back down, you know, like you have to challenge the narrative that only the white supremacists that were marching in Charlottesville are the people who support this president, because that's the most ridiculous thing in the world. Ryan,
and those people usually are the loudest. They're the ones that they're going to come into a room and they're going to say what they think, and they don't want to have a debate. And so sometimes I get why, if you're one of those people who, you don't agree with those people, but you don't want to debate them because you know it's not going anywhere. It's tough. It's tricky, especially when they're in your personal life.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we get back, we'll get a little more reaction on some of the things Droy said. And then at 1:40, Tim Jones is going to join us on the show. Not hosting, just visiting. So stick around. We are streaming live. You can watch us and participate in the lively chat that's going on Facebook at facebook.com/Annie Fry Show. We've got a live stream that you can watch there on Facebook and on the Annie Fry YouTube page, YouTube channel. If you go there, we're streaming live. You can watch us on your smart TV or on your YouTube app on your phone. Just trying to be available in as many places as possible to make it the most comfortable so that we can spend some time with you this afternoon. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
This is the Annie Fry Show. Talk lines are open now at 314-241-9797 or 866-455-9797.
Hi, Chad Hansen with Hansen's Tree Service and Environmental Resources. At Hansen's, we manufacture a full line of garden and landscape products that are perfect for your outdoor project. Pick up any of our products at World Outdoor Emporium, Kirkwood Materials, or a Hansen's location near you.
With all the uncertainty in the world today, our mental wellness is being tested like never before. I'm Listening is here to help and remind you that you are not alone. Join us Wednesday, September 23rd at 6 p.m. for a two-hour in-depth discussion with Katy Perry, Jon Bon Jovi, Demi Lovato, Luke Combs, members of TLC, and many more, along with some of the most respected names in helping and healing, to share their thoughts. For more, visit imlistening.org. Remember, talk has the power to save lives.
So Stewart's American Mortgage, my friend Stewie, has the bagel loan, and when you reach out to Stewie, he is going to help you, and he's going to do what's best for you. This is one of the reasons why I trust putting my name next to his so very much, and why when people call him at 314-324-4440, or you can text him, 314-324-4440, when you reach out to him, I know that he is not going to take you for something that's better for him than you. He's going to care for you. Get your refinance started right now, folks. Do not put this off. He can use a bagel loan, which isn't going to charge you fees. They don't exist. He's not hiding them or tucking them somewhere. You're not going to pay them. I've done it myself. I've gone through the process, and he showed me each step of the way how it works. You can do the Bank Buster loan, which is ridiculously low rates that you can have on your purchase or on your refi. I mean, really, really low. If you are in the mortgage shopping situation right now, or if you're considering a refi, if you have a rate that's a 4.0 or higher, oh my gosh, 314-324-4440. Please, please, please call Stewie. Do it for me. You'll be so very glad that you did. NMLS number 226715.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, so I found this tweet, and I'm retweeting it right now, and I just DM'd it to Katie because I wanted you to see it on live air here. Kanye is tweeting quite a bit. I don't know what this is about, and if you're watching us live, you can see it here as well, and I will explain. Actually, no, Ryan, can you explain here?
Oh, Lord.
At first, I thought that was a cat in a dryer, but now that you've made it bigger, that is a Grammy in a toilet.
Mm-hmm. And
something happening to the Grammy in the toilet.
I see 2 feet.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I see a stream.
There's a it's live streaming on our stream.
Good one, Ryan.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You know what? I will say this. He's not drinking a lot of bad stuff. He's clearly drinking a lot of water.
It's a good color.
Mm-hmm. Good color.
Yeah,
nice and clear.
Healthy.
Damn, have you been reading? Was it a Kanye tweet I sent you last night, Katie?
Yes, and I believe it was it could have been last night.
I think it was last night. And I was like, can you tell me what he's talking about here? And he's like, Katie was basically like, no, not really. he's been on a diatribe here for the last 24 hours, tweeting quite a bit, and like asking to see other artists' contracts and labels, and really going after the companies that, in his words, you know, own the artists. Which, in many cases, the way that industry is set up, I don't know, Ryan, if you know a lot about how that industry works. Can you explain that? I didn't ask you if you could. I don't know.
Explain specifically.
Just like how a label will own the music. The artist doesn't mm-hmm. own the music. And, you know, if there are people who are getting really rich off of artists' artistry without it being the person who created it. And
yeah.
Made it.
Well, the crazy thing is that speaking of streams, in the streaming generation, that's actually gotten worse. So it used to be that in, you know, 10, 15 years ago, yeah, they'd sign contracts with labels and they were not great contracts. But now, because streaming offers so much less than radio, the labels have gotten more aggressive. And so they own part of each artist tour a lot of times, sometimes the whole thing. They'll own parts of their publishing, which is a lot of times how artists were continuing to make money, is on the publishing, not just the recording of the songs, which the labels always owned. So it's gotten worse in the last 10 years, not better.
Go ahead, Katie.
This is just the tweet that we're referring to from Kanye's Twitter account. I need to see everybody's contract at Universal and Sony. I'm not going to watch my people be enslaved. I'm putting my life on the line for my people. The music industry and the NBA are modern day slave ships. This last part. I'm the new Moses.
See, when I don't know what's going on, which was in that tweet, I was like, tell me what the kids are talking about right now. What's the word on the street, Katie? Give me the 411, which is what old people say. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I don't know what he's talking about. Then I read the comments or the retweets and see how people are reacting to it. And it seemed as though a lot of people were like, Kanye needs help. I am teetering between with Kanye. Some of the things he says, I think, are so spot on. And I think he is so brave for saying it. He's obviously wildly successful. So it's not like, I mean, if he never made another penny in his life, he'd be doing fine. He's taken care of generations of his family. So I guess he's freed to be able to do this. But, you know, he has also been very vocal. What is it? Bipolar? Isn't that what
he is?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's been very out with that. So it's a mental health situation. So you don't want to, I don't want to be the person who's like, yes, Kanye, when you're on my side. But if there's a mental health situation involved, like, it's not like I'm going to, you know, accessorize it to the point I'm trying to make if somebody is struggling. But I do see a consistency with the way that social media reacts as a whole and the way that the actual media reacts. If somebody comes out with anything that challenges the status quo in mainstream media, in mainstream culture, which is as depraved as I imagine, you know, I say that, and then there is Sodom and Gomorrah in the Bible. We all know how that ends. But, you know, our culture right now is pretty disgusting. You've got people out there who are like, you need to watch Cuties to understand why it exists on Netflix. And I'm like, I'm going to cancel it. I don't know if the assertion that his mental stability is in question, if that's because it's real or if that's because when he challenges the status quo, it's easier, and may I add, extremely lazy, to try to go straight to the mentally unfit argument. They did the same thing for Donald Trump. And I actually think that whether you like him, love him, hate him, despise him, or just, you know, moderately annoyed by him, I think that man is brilliant. I think he's very good at what he does. Maybe you don't like what he does, but he knows what he's doing. Mm-hmm. It's not accidental. And all you have to do is compare him to Joe Biden to say, this guy can get stuff done if he puts his mind to it. Joe Biden will wait to be told what to do in order to do it.
I feel like I tie in what Kanye West is saying about, you know, the music industry and people kind of owning you and owning your words to what Candace Owens said that we talked about on Monday. She was like, I have people that DM me all the time saying in this industry and in many other industries that have big voices and big platforms saying, I agree with you. And I value what you're saying. I just can't be the person to say it. I'm not. She didn't say aloud, but she said a lot of these people don't have voices or can't have voices to say what they actually feel. And I think that Kanye broke free of that and said, no more. I'm not going to be under anybody else's eye. I'm going to do my own thing in this industry, and people might not like it or people might really love it. Either way, I'm having my freedom back.
You almost have to be at the level of a Kanye or a Donald Trump. I mean, in the business world,
those guys
are untouchable. They've done everything that they're going to do. They've achieved the highest level of success.
Because they don't need you.
They don't need anybody.
They're free.
Exactly. And so they can do whatever they want. And there's so few people like that, that even when they get to that point, they're willing to give it up and just say, well, forget it. I don't care. I got here by doing it my way. I'm going to keep doing it my way. But almost everybody else, unless you're at the top of the heap, you have somebody to answer to, and everybody's afraid of what that person they're going to answer to is going to say if they speak out.
The cardinal sin in this country right now is being a Republican. There's nothing worse than you can be, according to mainstream media, than anybody who sympathizes or validates anything that has to do with being a Republican or being conservative. It is the cardinal sin. It is the scarlet letter. Here's the thing, though, and this is how you know that this is the case. If I'm picking somebody, and I'm not even going to say a name because maybe they'll be bipolar and then I will be being insensitive and then I'll get fired. Let's say there is like somebody who has an episode, a tragic episode, and they're a champion of the left, and you come out and you find out that they're bipolar. I guess maybe Ellen DeGeneres could be an example of somebody who has, let's say she has a mental diagnosis that she's dealing with that all of a sudden explains some of the stuff that Ellen has been being, you know, attacked for the last 8 months, 9 months or so. If she were to come out and continue to be a champion for leftist policies and progressivism, I think that the diagnosis would then become like a net positive for her in the scope of the mainstream media, because it would be embracing this thing that makes her different, but also shining a light on something that many other people could identify with. Because we're supposed to be embracing of these different circumstances that people are living in. People do have bipolar disease. People do have manic depression. People are depressed. People do have anxiety. People do have issues that they, and we're supposed to be able to come out and talk about them. We should be able to do that. It isn't like we are living in a day and a time where coming out with something like that, that normally in the past would have been hidden, it's supposed to be empowering to embrace that. And I stand by that. I want to be able to understand that these people who live on the other side of a television camera or a microphone are human just like the rest of us. And they are having great successes and experiencing, you know, traumatic failures just like we do, because they're dealing with things just like we do. But it does feel like to me that if that diagnosis can then be used against somebody who is politically misaligned in our culture, if you have the scarlet letter, anything is fair game. If you are labeled, if you come out even with anything less than Orange Man Bad, then you were going anything. You've crossed a line. It's uncrossable to come back. And whatever you are, however you exist, I mean, we see this with people of mixed race, of different races, of a diverse background, of a diverse, you know, sexual preference. We see this of people of diverse religious backgrounds, that if you come out and identify as a conservative, everything else that you are, that you have, that you support, that you stand by, that you have, that is a box you check on a medical form when you are being asked questions about who you are scientifically as a person, that all is fair game now to be used against you. You know, Candace Owens being called a white supremacist. I saw her on Tucker Carlson, and she's like, people call me a white supremacist. I don't know. I don't know how you do that. It makes no sense to me. But yet this is the world we live in because you bear the scarlet letter.
If Ellen DeGeneres came out and started pounding the Orange Man Bad hammer and the George W. Bush hammer, for sure she'd have to do that too. I think she would not only be forgiven, she would be elevated and given a platform to talk about being bipolar or whatever, whereas Kanye West is never going to be given that platform.
Yeah, and by the way, we don't know that just to clarify, that was a hypothetical situation. I don't want to be putting that on her. Is there anybody in this country right now who should know what it's like to have the media out relentlessly to get you with uncorroborated, anonymous stories about how terrible of a person you are than Ellen DeGeneres and Donald Trump? I mean, think about being on that political spectrum right now and knowing that both sides of that spectrum have people who are out who have a personal agenda to make you look as bad as possible. The only point of the story coming out is to make you look bad. It doesn't matter if you can prove it. It doesn't matter if it's true. It just matters that you put it out there because it fits with the rest of the narrative. And then we start to dehumanize these people and we ruin any possibility of anybody looking at any situation and saying, this is how I feel about this. Because it's been told. We know what we're supposed to think. And if you dare go against it, then you're out. You got the scarlet letter. We're going to take a quick break. Tim Jones is going to join us in just a minute. Don't go anywhere. Back in a second.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thank you for being here with us this afternoon. It means a lot to me, and I am always grateful for the opportunity to come talk to you each weekday, noon to 3, right here on 97.1 FM. I want to get straight to our guest. Tim Jones is joining us now, who pinch hit for me yesterday. Tim, thank you for your help yesterday. I talked a little bit in the beginning of the show about losing my grandmother, and you and Mark both stepped right in, and Katie and Ryan, you guys did a fantastic job. It's you know, a tough time, but the show goes on, and I was really grateful, and I know that it's in good hands, especially when it's in yours and Mark's. So thank you. I wanted to publicly thank you for that yesterday.
Well, Annie, you don't have to do that. Yeah, that's what friends are for. Thanks for the kind words. I've been there where you are. I've been through that several times recently myself. I think I'm a year or two older than you. I've been through what you're going through. I had two very special grandmas in my life. They're wonderful ladies, pioneers in everything they did. Very different people, wonderful people. That is from that greatest generation, right?
Yeah.
And didn't know your grandma, but from everything I've seen on your Twitter feed and things you posted, looked like a remarkable woman. And so my deepest condolences to you. And I was really happy to do the show, always happy to do the show. It's wonderful to do the show. You have a great show. The only thing is there's the Wiggins thing. So yeah, that's all I'll say about that. So
it's just like one of those things that goes along with the show.
Yeah.
And it kind of starts to grow on you.
It's like a bunion. Yeah, it's like a bunion.
Listen, today is literally my birthday.
Happy birthday, Bunyan. Yeah.
We canceled his birthday for today, and we're going to celebrate it in its own right next
cancel
week.
Culture.
It's going to be a surprise party for all of us, and because we had some things in the mix, and due to some of those sad events in my life that got postponed, and I want to treat it the way it really should be treated, with the respect and reverence that Ryan Wiggins deserves.
Well, happy birthday to Ryan. No, seriously, Ryan and I had a great time yesterday. We played lots of pole music yesterday. It was fantastic.
We did.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. Let me ask you this. I talked about a Rasmussen poll that came out in August. That's like years ago, it seems like. But
sure.
It was saying 59% of voters didn't think that Joe Biden would actually finish 4 years in office. That to me sounds like, you know, the idea that Joe Biden's not actually going to debate that, or that Joe Biden wasn't actually going to be the nominee. These are very eye-catching, dramatic storylines or headlines. They get floated out there. They get talked about. Nancy Pelosi is going to be the president because of the election's not going to be decided. I'm curious what your thoughts and opinions are, Tim, on the likelihood, if Joe Biden were to get elected, that he would be able to adequately serve those 4 years.
Well, I think there's a lot of truth to that poll, and I guess people are ready to have Queen Kamala as president of the United States, Annie, because, right, we're not the only one. It's not just the discussion on conservative, you know, common sense conservative talk radio. It's not just a discussion in Republican circles. I mean, Kamala Harris, did you hear? Have you played the clip word yesterday where she slipped up and said in the Harris administration? I mean, you know, I mean, she thinks it's going to happen, apparently, that Joe Biden's not going to make it 4 years. So, you know, I think it's definitely something people are going to be voting on, and people have to ask themselves, do you want Kamala Harris to be president? Are you ready for that? Are you ready for those far left-wing liberal policies? Because that's what's going to be promoted under that type of administration. Joe Biden is a pale chameleon for what is really coming down the pike. And I thought voters in the Democratic Party rejected that when they soundly defeated Bernie Sanders many months ago and said, "Ooh, we're not quite ready for Medicare for all and all those things." But those are a lot of the policies that a Harris administration, as she said yesterday, would start implementing.
Speaker Tim Jones, we've talked a lot, of course, and we did yesterday about the presidential election. We talked about the enthusiasm gap a little bit. What about the Congress? You know, what are the chances that the Republicans hold on to the Senate or even could take back the House?
Yeah, so, you know, the Senate is really tight, Ryan. It's about as – I think – I could be wrong. I've been wrong before, but the Senate races, I believe, are intricately tied with the presidential outcome. So as the presidency goes, I think so goes the Senate. And when you look at the our favorite website that we love, realclearpolitics.com, and you look at the Senate races, they've got that metric basically baked in there. It looks right now it's a tie. It's like 47-47 or maybe it's a 45. It's 45 to 45.
No, you
right?
got it. It's 47-47. I'm
okay.
Looking at it. Yeah.
With what? Like a few toss-ups
exactly.
Or whatever? And when they say no toss-ups, so when they say, okay, if the election were today, based on today's polling, Democrats win the Senate 51-49. That should be terrifying to every conservative, libertarian, independent in the land, because do you want Joe Biden, and more importantly, Kamala Harris, to be running the country with a unified Democratic Senate and House. I think the House is a heavier lift. I think it's possible. It depends, Ryan, as we talked about yesterday, how big is that silent majority? How many of them are not stating who they're voting for? How many of them are not being reflected in the polls? Donald Trump had a huge electoral victory 4 years ago, way beyond what anybody predicted. Because remember, 98% of the predictions were that Hillary Clinton was going to be president. It's interesting, kind of dovetail quickly into this, it's interesting what Congress did today. They actually did something. The Republican-run Senate did something. I don't know if you guys have talked about this yet. I think it's semi-breaking news. A Senate Judiciary Committee, which I believe is run by Lindsey Graham, issued subpoenas today for Comey and Brennan and Clapper. So we're going to have Russian collusion talk, but the shoe's going to be on the other foot. Is that the September-October surprise? Where is Durham? Is that report going to drop? There are a lot of things lining up, from Mideast peace deals to a return of the Trump boom, bump economy, to Russian collusion where the Democrats are on the hot seat. This could be an epic moment for Donald Trump heading into November 3rd.
You know, I feel like I see it's all anecdotal. And, you know, as much as I love polls and everything, sometimes I feel like they're even anecdotal because I don't know who they're polling and who owns the polling place, all that stuff. But my eyes have noticed in public, not in yards, but on people, American flags, thin blue line T-shirts, even some extra, even more frequent Trump stuff that is pro-America, maybe not even Trump, but pro-America. And I'm watching the partisan divide exist here. I almost feel like people are too intimidated to wear the Trump stuff, but they're not too intimidated to wear an American flag. Do you tie those two together? Is
yes.
Patriotism partisan now?
It's become so. Annie, how about kneeling for the flag or standing for the flag? How about doing whatever you do to the flag? Yeah, patriotism has become partisan, unfortunately. To your point about seeing things, right? You know that I even in the pandemic, I've had the opportunity to travel a little bit. I've been traveling by car quite a bit, rolling through your beloved southern Illinois and into southern Indiana. Annie, a presidential campaign, when you break it down to its essence, it's nothing more than a massive, giant national marketing campaign, right? You're selling a product, which is the next president of the United States. I hate to be so boiling it down to brass tacks, but that's what it is. So a foreign market campaign, swag goes with that, right? But usually not so much when you're talking about electoral races, except for maybe some pens, right? Hand out some pens and fly swatters. Annie, do you ever remember a presidential candidate or any candidate where people have gone so far as to actually raise flags in their front yards, on their boat docks, on their summer homes, in their apartment windows? A lot of them are usually below the American flag. Trump 2020 flags are being elevated all across this country on the sides of barns, random fields and highways. Have you ever seen anything like that before, where the support for a person to be president has translated into flag swag? I mean, I don't recall this phenomenon. And that's that enthusiasm gap, where the president is leading Joe Biden by like 20 points. That has to account for something, despite all the, quote, professional polls on registered voters and who their preference is at this point. I want to know who the actual voters are going to be and who they're going to pull the lever for.
I agree. Tim, thank you for coming on with us again today. Again, lots of gratitude for you filling in for me yesterday. And we will be sure to tune in Sunday night, 7 to 9 p.m. right here on 97.1 to hear the Tim Jones Show. Tim, thank you, my friend. Good to have you back.
Annie, you're a consummate professional. You're doing a great job. You're hanging in there. Thanks for everything you do, not only for this station, for this region, but honestly, for everybody in America that needs to hear your voice every day. Appreciate
it. Thank you. Tim, thank you so much. I appreciate that. For everybody
on the Gulf Shores listening.
Yeah, I'm wearing my Gulf Shores Police Association T-shirt. Hurricane Sally hitting down there, and we have a lot of fans in at the Gulf Shores Police Department. And let me tell you this, here on the Annie Fry Show, do I speak for all of us when I say we're a big fan of law enforcement? Can I speak for all of us?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Absolutely. Feel free.
Yeah. I'm watching the news. I'm watching my Facebook live feeds that pop up. And I think it's worth saying every single day that we are grateful for you people who are serving in blue. And if there's anything we can do, you know where to find us. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.